Bibles, take them, open up to the Psalms, the 63rd chapter. Psalm 63. You got me off?
Yeah, you're off.
Psalm chapter 63. While you're turning there, I also failed to mention a while ago, but Miss Lisa, I know you lost your mom and want to continue to keep you and your family in prayer. And she's a wonderful lady, and I know that y'all will miss her, but what fond memories you have. And won't be the last time you see her. You'll see her again. Psalms chapter 63. So David is writing here, giving to the Lord. The title of the message is Feasting Upon God. You know, sometimes we think about that, and the Lord actually, he says in the 23rd Psalm, he says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You ever think about that for a moment? If you got enemies all around, eating is probably the last thing on your mind, right? You're more interested in defending and making sure you're protected. And yet, because of God's assurance, David said, my enemies are all around me and you prepare a table before me. It's not necessarily the physical food, but the table of His Word for nourishment, to prepare for the battle. And we do that every day. We battle right outside of those doors. Because the world is all around us and evil is there. And so as you said a while ago, praying for others, that we stay on that straight and narrow path. And the only way we can do that is to have that feast upon our Lord, that we have that internally as we go out and keep our eyes focused on Him, that we rage and battle that war, as Paul said, not of flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities. And unfortunately, in our old world, the way things are, and by Scripture, the prophecies, those powers and principalities are going more and more head to head. And we're part of that soldiers of God's army. And so here in Psalm 63, we have the joy of fellowshipping with God and feasting upon His Word. We sang the song about blessed assurance, to have His assurance that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us. So Psalm 63, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able, as we read here in the first few verses. David is praising a joy and a song to the Lord. Oh my God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land, where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuaries to see Your power and Your glory. Because of Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. Because You have been my help, and therefore, in the shadow of Your wing, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. You may be seated. As we mentioned before, I believe that every word that is inspired in our Bible by the Holy Spirit of God, having the privilege and the gift from the Lord to write several different songs and poems and praises to His name. I'll be the first one to tell you that didn't come from me. That's God given those songs and the music to put them to and things of that nature. And that's exactly what David is proclaiming here. So let's look at what he says, because we all face trials and troubles. This again is in a time when David has enjoyed the comforts and the niceties of the palace, and yet because God ordained him to be king and Saul was the current king and did not want David to take that throne, he began to pursue him in order to try and to kill him, to take his life. And so David literally is in his area of the world out here wandering in the wilderness. And David is having the beginning, because of the lack of water, his mind is beginning to play tricks on him. And so he talks about this being in a dry and thirsty land. You know, we can understand that. Before the rains of July, all we talked about was how bad our lands were, how much we needed water for our cattle and for our sheep and goats, our livestock, but even for ourselves. How blessed those rains are when they take place. And if you're involved with people at all, you know, my original growing up place was in West Texas, out in Odessa, Midland. We understand drought. It's a dry and desert, arid type of place out there. And I remember as working as an officer especially, and even my wife will tell you that, of even working not necessarily in the law enforcement, just in regular jobs and all. When we went through those drought spells, and especially the winds came in the early spring and March and April, and we went day after day with not just, you know, normal breeze in West Texas, 20 miles to 40 miles an hour, that's just a breeze. Down here we think it's wind. That's just a breeze every day. But these were howling winds and the dirt in the air, and people were so irritable. And finally the Lord would allow a shower to come over and the rains would fall. And it didn't matter what you said after that, you got along with everybody. It literally calmed all the spirits down. And you think about that, even in our area where it's been dry and we were in all of the drought, and the rains came. And suddenly people had a smile. Hey, did you see how green the grass is? And we talk about the things that we see. And Jimmy mentioned this morning, he said, here's the cattle, and they're walking around with their bellies dragging on green grass. It's all the way to their belly. We feel good because God has blessed His abundance upon us. David here, notice how he says, and the key things in here for you and I, he says, oh God, you are my God. I started a while ago talking about the fundamentals. You don't get no more fundamental than that right there. In your own mind, take a moment and just begin to reflect on that, even in your daily lives. At the end of a day, kind of look back and go, what was my God today? Was it work? Or was it the true and living God? See, no matter where we go, He goes with us. He promised us He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. So all day long, if we never have thoughts, and I can put this as a personal deal, if I never have a thought about the Lord of what He's doing, or see Him in people or in things that take place where there's either a need for prayer or there's a need to say, thank you, Lord. Man, you handle that. I didn't even have the opportunity to ask, or maybe I did have the ask, and He answers that prayer. Every day, how often do we think of Him? Some days I have to say ashamedly, not as much as I should have thought. David here says, I will praise you in the morning. You know, I have come to learn, even old hard head like me, that every day if I jump out of bed because something's going on, get a phone call or whatever, and I don't take my time to be with the Lord, it's going to be a rough day. I can bank on it. But even if it starts that way, if I'll shut it down and take some time to be with Him first, that day runs good. I've seen those days when I got more on my plate than what I can get handled, but it's all under a deadline. And if I pray to Him, it's kind of like paying bills. It all gets done and there's time left over. I hear so much about people talking about time management. How about you have God management first? He'll take care of the time. Just like He takes care of your finances, you can think that old check ain't going to spread. But if you let Him be your accountant, I promise you, you'll pay every bill and have money left over. And there wasn't no bonus in that check. It's the same thing it always was. But you give it to Him, He works it, and time is no different. He says, I will seek you early. It means the beginning of the day. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. We all have a time period sometimes that we get so captured up by all that's going on, and y'all may be a whole lot better than me, but I'm kind of talking about me. But all has gone on, all the problems dealing with work and everything else, that I let up and I don't have that constant communion with Him or take that daily communion with Him. And then when it finally dawns on me, that Holy Spirit kind of whops me upside the head. You know, kind of like Rosie when I'm not listening, she whopped me. Yes, ma'am, you got my attention again, right? And the Lord has a way of doing that. Hers is kind and gentle compared to His sometimes. But that's what it takes for a knothead, I understand. But He grabs your attention. And when I think, you know, I miss that time together, Lord, and my heart really does begin to thirst. David here relates it to the physical part. He says, in the desolate lands there is no water. And he begins to talk about how it is, and we know that physically. If we go without water for a period of time, it doesn't matter about food. It doesn't matter about safety or anything. All we can concentrate on is trying to get water. When you finally get that water, that coolness of it, it doesn't have to be ice cold, just the fact that it's wet. It takes the cotton out of our mouth and how good it tastes. But you see, with a period of time, we thirst again. But the thing about it with Him, we don't have that thirst again. It's not, can't get enough. Because He begins to satisfy that thirst. He says, I look for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Imagine this world if everyone who professed to be a Christian lived it out every day. What power and glory there would be in this world. I mean, all y'all have been there where Lord answers your prayer, and man, you're just there, you dance in the aisles and the streets and anywhere else, and you hoot and you holler. We went to the baseball game last night in Round Rock. The Express did not win. Okay? Matter of fact, for most of the game it was 5-0. And the first young man finally come up there and hit it. And over the wall it went. You should have heard all of the hooping and hollering going on. It's just one run. We weren't winning, but Goose Egg went away. Okay? We at least scored one. What was really bad, it was the El Paso Chihuahuas. Now, I understand it was baseball. But being a UT graduate with Longhorn, and we're going to worry about a Chihuahua whooping us, right? I got to admit, it was kind of embarrassing to say, Oh, yeah, the Chihuahuas whooped us yesterday. But everybody hooped and we hollered and we were congratulatory and applauded the young man that did that. When God's done something for us, why don't we hoop and holler the same way? And we do probably in the big things. But folks, I'm talking about every day. And this isn't at you, it's it to me too. Every day, God does spectacular things for you and I. Number one, you go, well, what do you mean spectacular? You got up in the morning, didn't you? And as I look around at a lot of the gray hair in this room, including myself, that is a major ordeal that we got up. Okay? We may be slow about it, but we got up. We're still walking, and we move. You see, we have things to glorify in Him every single day. If we take time to look at it and to give Him the honor and the glory that is due Him. He said, I looked in your sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now, that doesn't mean you and I got to come to church. I looked in your sanctuary. You know where God's sanctuary is? Right there. Within me. Paul says you and I are living sacrifices. We are the temples of the Lord. That same Holy Spirit that the Old Testament talks about, that the Israelites saw when they had and they built the temple, and they said they saw the smoke come down into the Holy of Holies. Our heart and soul is the Holy of Holies. And the day you and I accept Jesus Christ, that same smoke, that Holy Spirit, literally comes down into the Holy of Holies. Man, if you can't get excited that the center of your being is holy, I mean, nobody knows me better than me, right? And to think that God would put that holy spot within me, whew, it makes you kind of shudder all over. It does me for the simple fact that I think about some of the things that I do and I'm like, what is wrong with you? You got God's Holy Spirit living within you, and look what you've done. You are His Holy of Holies in this fleshly body. So what can I have to complain about? And David here is looking at the same thing as he writes this. He says, because, in verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life. No matter how much enjoyment of things here on this earth you and I have, I got news for you. It can't hold a beginning candlestick to what waits for us at God's home. Not a single thing. I said we hooped and hollered because they scored one run. How much hooping and hollering do you think there's going to be the day you see Jesus face to face? Or even as that song, the words that were there, will I even speak at all? Had the opportunity, we were talking about that last night, and my different careers, the people who are stars, you know, the George Straits, the people we look up to that, man, they have great music, and maybe they're actors or whatever. And I've literally seen people that get introduced to them to say, hey, I'd like for you to meet, you know, Bob Hope or whoever it is. And you watch some of these people just go, they're locked. They can't even say hello. If that's for a human being, what's it going to be for our Lord and Savior? Will I even speak at all? Or will I just fall down before you? His loving kindness through His Son Jesus Christ gives you that ability. Not just to go to heaven, folks, but God the Father says that you are my children. Jesus confirmed that in saying, I do not speak to you as servants. For the servants know not what the master do, but I speak to you as my brothers and my sisters, which means we know what the Father does. He says, my lips shall praise you, thus I will bless you while I live. We often talk about that, which is true, I don't take anything away from it, but the decision that you and I make while we are living determines where we will spend all of eternity. And yes, I'm a firm believer. For the believer, the instant that you and I draw our last breath on this earth, we immediately finish that breath in His presence. I believe that. And yes, I believe that we will be able to praise Him there as well. But with a vocal voice of what we know today and being able and praising Him doesn't just mean with song, and it doesn't mean just hooping and hollering and carrying on. Praising Him also means sharing that gospel. We only have that opportunity while we live. Despite what the world wants to believe, the grave, those who are in the grave, do not speak to us. His Holy Spirit speaks to us. We have the memories of our loved ones, and maybe the things that they taught us or showed us we're reminded of. But when we draw our last breath, this bottle, this vessel, no longer speaks. Many of you have experienced where you've lost loved ones, and I've heard it because you've said it, and I understand that. Is I'd just like to talk to Him one more time. I'd like to talk to my mom or my grandmother or my dad just one more time. But you see, that's not possible. But I can talk to my Heavenly Father anytime, any place. I have an interpreter that not only takes my words, but brings His and speaks to me every day if I will listen, if I'll take the time to hear what He has to say and have conversations with Him. David continues here. He says, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with the marrow and fatness. That's what Jimmy is talking about this morning, them cattle being happy and fat. That ain't a salad for those of you vegetarians. That's a full-fledged steak dinner. You can have all the leafy rabbit food you want, but if you want satisfaction, get you a good old steak. Something you can sink your teeth into. Yeah, you have to chew on it a little while. That's part of the goodness. You know you got something worthwhile eating. That leaf gets caught in your throat and you cough and you hack forever. Should have chewed it up better. See, you used to chewing it too easy. Get you some beef in there. But the key word in that verse 5, he said, my soul shall be satisfied. Folks, God put a God spot in us for a fellowship. Had a conversation this week with a feller. We were talking about, he said, well, you know, all the different religions. And he said, I've been looking into some of the Oriental and the, you know, how they do their calendar and the numerology and the numbers and the astrology. And so I listened to him, and he says, you really begin to see this stuff really play out. And he said, it's really pretty accurate. He said, of course, and he told me about a guy he listens to on the internet. And he said, but he admits there is a higher power. And I had to tell him, You know, I listened for a while. He said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, here's what I think. There is a higher power, but it is a single entity called God. Not, you know, all these numerologies and all these things you're talking about are of man. I said, you think about all the different type of religions, and I said, even those in our history, when they never heard the gospel preached to them, and it, you know, you take it right here out of our own country, the American Indian realized there was a God, a spirit higher and bigger than they were. And they were always searching for that, and they tried it through the eagle and the deer and the lion and all these different things, and the sun and the moon. I said, it's all because man is searching for something to fill the God spot that our Creator put in us. And the problem is, just as David said here, my soul thirsts. We thirst for that God spot. And when we finally accept Jesus Christ, all those other things we tried to fill that spot with are gone. Because suddenly that spot is satisfied. Nothing can fill the God spot but God Himself. That's our soul. Nothing fills that spot. You know, when you're hungry for something, whatever that may be, whether it's a steak or Bluebell ice cream or soda water or whatever it is that you hadn't had in a good while, I got news for you. I don't care what other type of food you eat, it will not satisfy. That hamburger meat ain't what a steak is. Okay? Homemade ice cream, I don't care what kind you buy, even Bluebell is not the same as homemade ice cream. Okay? But once you have that, wow, it tastes so good. Well, from a spiritual aspect, once you allow God to fill that God spot, nothing else will ever satisfy it again. Because you are satisfied. After you've had a really divine steak, you don't want any of that other trash that's out there. Okay? We want that fine beef again. He says here that my soul shall, you know, and it's not a question, might be satisfied, must be satisfied. He said, it shall be satisfied. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. I remember asking my grandma one time, and I was young, and I said, you know, Mimi, I know we're supposed to have prayer time when we wake up and when we go to sleep. I said, but a lot of times I start praying to Him, and I never finish that prayer. I go to sleep. I said, is that wrong? I've always remembered her words. She said, no, son, that's not wrong. She says, that means you communicated and He gave you His peace so you could drift off. And I've often thought about that. People say they can't sleep. You ever think about talking to Him? It's not because you're bored, but because, as Jesus said, I'll give you my peace, my joy. What David says, that God spot got satisfied. I can sleep real well, like the commercial all night long. Says, I meditate to you on the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, Paul said it this way, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because nothing is impossible with Him. He says, my soul follows close behind you. That one really kind of struck home about the days and the different things that go on. And I thought about that, you know, kind of bringing this all back together of focusing on Him throughout the day. Do I start the morning out by talking to Him and then just run along my busy little way? Or do I grasp hold of His hand and follow Him through the day? Because see, if I let Him lead, like I told you, all those items I got to do get done and there's time left over and the day goes so much smoother. Do I follow Him? Because His path is always right. It's amazing sometimes old Siri tells me on the map to go to these job locations that I done been to, and she'll tell me to turn left, and I go, nope, been here before, I need to go right. But if I follow her, I'm going to go down a weary path. If I follow the way of myself or the world, guess what? One of those weary paths. And you get lost. And you got train wrecks. But if I follow Him, I get to that destination. I get to that peace and that joy that He offers. David closes here. He says, my follow close behind you, your hand upholds me. What an assurance. No matter where I travel, no matter what comes across my path, good, bad, indifferent, He's made me a promise He'll never leave me. I'm still going to have trials and tribulations, but I never go through it alone if I follow close behind Him, because He's right there. He's in that Holy of Holies. It's just whether you and I choose to listen and to follow. Feasting upon Him, it don't get no better than that. When you look back at the end of a day and say, wow, Lord, how great You are. How You took a day and turned it into nothing but praise. Yeah, there was bumps in the road, but You smoothed them out. And at the end of the day, as I lay down, as David talks about on a bed, I can meditate and begin to recall all the things through the day I saw God's hand at work. A wise Solomon tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. That acknowledgement's the thank you. That acknowledgement is seeing that it wasn't my smarts that got through the trial. It was His guiding hand. All Thy ways, all my life. And I'm not special, because He offers that to each and every one of us. This past week, there have been several who have taken their own lives because they saw no hope. And even some that knew the Lord. And I'm thinking, man, you got out there in the desert, and yet there was living water to satisfy your soul. You knew Him personally. I have no doubt on some of them. They knew Him personally. But they didn't keep their eyes there. They didn't, and I'm not berating them because they're, by any way, we all face that. But if we keep Him close, if we meditate upon Him, I am assured that He will continually give you and I that hope, that peace, that joy that He has promised. He's not a liar. He cannot be a liar. How thirsty are you? there's water, living water, just for you every day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come and feast upon you. No matter what the situation is, no matter the time of day or night, you're always present. Thank you, Father, that you are that living water, that you do give that hope. You give what our soul thirsts for. And we, just as David wrote, become full of the marrow and the fatness because we have feasted with and upon you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness that you have imparted to us. And all you ask that we believe with all of our heart in him, and we yield our way to his way. Thank you for creating us with a desire to have fellowship with you. But thank you so much for loving us even before we were aware of that desire. Lord, we praise you and we thank you here today for the time that we have had, for the scriptures that you allowed through your Spirit to be written, that many years after they were written, we still can feast upon them and gain your encouragement and your character from them. Father, I thank you for each one here, for their desire to worship you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we have had. I have asked your blessings upon each one here and all of the households they represent. And Father, as we go into this week, let us remember this 63rd Psalm, to seek you early in the day, but also to meditate upon you when we lay down. Open our hearts and our eyes that we might see how you were there all day long and how you touched our lives. And let us go forward holding your hand, following close behind your lead as you direct our paths. Father, I ask for your safe travels for each one here and those who cannot be here this morning on the road, that you bring them to their safe destination until we again have the opportunity to come and worship you together. Lord, we love you. We praise you. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen.